Lord willing, point our hearts and minds toward what Jesus will later call the most important thing, and that is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to learn from Him. In Psalm 143, the psalmist says this. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness. And do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground for the sake of your name, O Lord, revive me. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble, and in your loving kindness, cut off my enemies, and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant." Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for verse 11 that says, "For the sake of your name, O Lord, revive me." Lord, that's what we ask this morning as we come to the text. That you would revive us, not only nor primarily so that we feel holy. For as this psalm says, no man is righteous in your sight, that is by his own righteousness. Not that we would feel holy or even that our conscience would not be burdened with our sinfulness. We ask, Lord God, that you would revive us for the sake of your name. That is, that you would work in our souls so that through the church here in Chelsea, your name would be glorified, lifted up, honored, and respected. Lord God, I pray that you would do a work in us so that your name would be praised through us by countless thousands. Lord God, I pray that you would stir within us a spirit of reverence, of awe, so that as we face the summer coming, we would be able to stand strong in faith and even grow instead of what most often seems to happen. Taking a step back. Lord, I pray that everyone here this morning and in the next service as well, and especially standing behind the pulpit, I pray that we would sit at the feet of Jesus this summer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Now, for the last few weeks, we've really been diving really fairly deeply into one verse of Scripture, John 3:16, and I thought that study went particularly well. I thought it was rather deep and challenging, especially theologically for many of you. And so what we're going to do this week, instead of taking 3 weeks on or 4 weeks on one verse, we're going to spend 1 week on like four verses. You're going to feel like we're going super, super fast. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. A very famous poet once said, "Mary had a little lamb who longed to be a sheep, so she joined her local Bible church and died from lack of sleep." You ever heard that before? It's this idea that many of us want to be solid servants of Christ. We want to be godly members of the body of Christ. And so because of that, we serve and we serve and we serve, and many times we burn ourselves out. I wanted to start this morning by reminding you of the fact that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be seeing a lot of schedule changes. As the summer is upon us, this week we have no Sunday school, we have no evening service. Next week we have Sunday school and evening service. The following week, we go to a different format to where we have one service, and during the Sunday school time, we have prayer meeting. And then we don't have prayer meeting on Wednesday, but we still have evening service. And then the week after that, who knows? Right? Speaking for the elders, our heart's desire is that this summer we would go back to one service if it's possible, and we kind of hope it isn't. Most summers we've seen a moderate dip in church attendance, and so we think we might be able to get away with one service, although it may require some of us to voluntarily join the underground church and sit in the basement. But it may not happen. You may be too faithful, and our numbers may stay just the same, in which case we would not be able to accommodate one service, and that way we'll go back to two. I just wanted to say before we even implement any of these changes that I am 100% behind our approach to summer. And that is, I am 100% behind the idea of discontinuing Sunday school for a couple of months, discontinuing Awana for a couple of months, even taking Wednesday night's prayer meeting and putting it Sunday morning so that we open up an evening during the week. It may shock some of you, but not only do I put up with such things, I'm actually 100% for such things. And the reason why is because, quite frankly, I think many of you have been serving a ton. I think that many of you have been serving so much that my heart's desire for you pastorally this summer would be to stop doing so much and sit at the feet of Jesus. I also have a plan for prayer meeting, which will be Sunday morning during the Sunday school time, in the hopes of helping you do that. So the last couple weeks, we've been very doctrinal, very theological. This week, we will be very practical, and the other stuff comes easier to me, quite frankly. Let's read our text. Starting in verse 38 of Luke 10, it says this, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, he being Jesus, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." Now incidentally, that village is called Bethany, which is important for many, many reasons. In verse 40, it says, "But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came to him being Jesus, and said, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" What an amazing way of correcting Martha. And we'll get to this piece by piece in a little bit. First of all, why preach this? It's a question I always like to ask to make sure or help to ensure that my motives are pure. First of all, it's to set up this summer prayer meeting approach. For those of you who may not know, we do have a prayer meeting every week. It has been on Wednesday nights ever since I've been here. In the fall, it will go back to Wednesday nights, probably, Lord willing. But for the summer, what we wanted to do was move it to the Sunday school time, one, because there's an opening there, time-wise, and two, because I've become convinced of a couple of things. One is that prayer meeting is very poorly attended. I was there, so I know. Two is that the reason why it may be poorly attended is because people have not yet come to understand the real value of this meeting, not just in terms of cold-hearted duty, but in terms of actual spiritual impact. And so this year, our theme for the prayer meeting all summer will be this: at the feet of Jesus. And since I have to make it rhyme, it'll be this: are you going through the motions or growing through devotions? Now, I'll talk about this more specifically later. This is a shameless plug. Now, what are my fundamental assumptions as I come to this text? First of all, my fundamental assumptions are these. First of all, that a busy life can be an enemy to your soul. We see this in Luke chapter 10, and we'll unpack it a little bit more as we go. But Martha's busyness was not good for her soul. And I'm convinced that many of you, some of whom teach Sunday school, help in Awana, are in a small group, and serve in many other different ways. Some of you may think that the more work you do and the busier you are, the better. And I'll hope to gently encourage you by challenging that notion this morning. Secondly, I think that for most of us, life takes it changes a little bit when the weather does. Now, I understand this year in Michigan, it hasn't yet. But someday, we're going to see this blue stuff in the sky. And this big yellow thing that's bright. I forget what it's called by this point, but you know what I mean. All of us want to draw nearer to God. That's another assumption that I bring to this text. I know that that's not always true. Some people just like doing things because they just like to be busy, and the idea of sitting and hearing lessons or doing devotions or reading the Word, quite frankly, feels to them like torture. I hope that's not the case, but I know that it probably is in some hearts. My last assumption is that some would prefer that everything continue as normal, but they won't do it. I mean, my assumption coming to this text is I have to at least a little bit defend against this idea that says, well, why don't we change things in the summer? Why don't we just leave everything the way it is and let them do it? Many times, though not always, the ones who say these things are not Sunday school teachers, Awana leaders, or other things. And so we always say things like this: well, do you want to do it? Well, I'm kind of busy in the summer. Yes, we all are. So let's get to the text. In Luke chapter 10, we'll start in verse 38. It says this: now as they were traveling along, notice this, that this text represents for us the middle of a really busy time for Jesus. They're traveling, he's teaching, he's on the move, and he comes to this village, we know from John 11, to be Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who is their brother, live. And he comes to this village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Now, she accepted responsibility for hospitality for the Messiah. So she says this: Lord Jesus, come to my home. I will take care of you. And in this culture, that's a big commitment. She is taking upon herself the welfare and reputation of Christ. If he has guests over to teach and there's not enough food or there's not a proper place to sit or things like that, it's going to reflect poorly on her and on him. So she welcomes him into her house, and we're going to get to know Martha a little bit. We also get to know her sister, Mary. And Mary, it seems to be completely different than Martha, at least in the examples we get in the Bible. Remember with John 11, with the raising of Lazarus, it's Martha that runs up to Jesus and says, Jesus, where you been? If you would have been here, my brother would still be alive. Well, we'll see that she brings the same kind of spunky attitude towards housing the Lord of glory. Now, the next thing we want to see is that Jesus was being honored by both of them. Look at this in verse 9. It says this: she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. Now let's stop there for a second and make this simple point. In Martha's mind, she was doing what was right. She was making dinner. She was making sure everything was straightened up. She was being the hostess with the mostest. And so she's running around like crazy doing her job. And unfortunately, she's doing all the work. But she was, in her heart, trying to honor Jesus by doing the best that she can with all of her energy and all of her strength. And I can't help but think, on some level, that's a good thing. Similarly, for all of those of you who've been leading in worship and teaching and all these other things, I don't want you to get the impression that I think that you're wasting your time or doing something bad. Quite the opposite. I think you're doing something great, just like Martha was. In her heart, she was honoring Jesus. She needed, though, just to take a break and listen, as we'll see later. Now, Mary was also honoring Jesus, and this is how she was honoring Jesus. Look at the text. It says this: Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, was listening to his word. So we have two sisters. One sister honors Jesus by doing. The other sister honors Jesus by sitting. And the first sister gets a little mad. But they both had proper motives. And so look what Martha says here. I love this. Martha seems to be the kind of person that, what's the word? Puts her foot in her mouth. She blurts. And I like that. Because a friend of mine, I don't want to tell you who, is a lot like that. We'll call him Romanek. He's a guy I know. Notice what she says. She doesn't say, "Hey, Jesus, could you tell Mary to give me a hand? I'm really burdened here." She doesn't say, "Lord, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I need a little help, because the roast is burning, and I need some help." No, she says this: "Jesus, don't you care?" Think about that. She says, "I'm working my fingers to the bone here. I'm exhausted. Does that not move you at all? Does that not make any difference to your heart?" What is she saying? She's saying, "Lord, don't you notice me running around like a chicken with its head cut off? And doesn't that make you see that I'm holy? Tell Mary to help me." And notice that it's in the form of a command. Look at this in the text. She doesn't say, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone?" That would be bad enough. But then she goes on and says this: "Then tell her to help me." Can you imagine interrupting the Messiah during the middle of a sermon, or any teacher, really? Can you imagine doing that to me? You know, I'm preaching, you raise your hand, you go, "Dom, don't you care? So-and-so's not helping." That's what she did. But then she goes a step further and commands the Lord of glory. "Tell her to help me then." I wish I could have been in that room, let me tell you. Just not to see his face, because he's perfect, but to see everybody else's face. Because if they're anything like me, they would have went like this: "Oh man, she's going to get it. Woo!" Sicker, right? Notice how Jesus responds. The Lord, in verse 41, answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." Does he care? Yes. Did he notice? Absolutely. And what he says is, "Martha, you need to relax. I don't care," he says, "if there's food. I don't care if everything's set up right. I don't care if every single piece of all the inner workings here is running smoothly. Just stop and sit at my feet. And let me impart to you the message of life. Who cares if the food's a little overdone or underdone or not done?" Imagine having your entire family over your house for dinner after church on Memorial Day. And they show up and you say to them, "Look, I didn't make anything." And they go, "What?" And you say, "I didn't make anything because I didn't want to be distracted from spending time with you because I love you." You would look at that person right in the eyes And with a heart full of joy, you would say, well, let's just get a pizza. What Jesus is saying is, Martha, I want you to want to learn from me. Not just do things for me. I want you to be blessed by me. I want you to sit at my feet and learn from me. I want you to be blessed, not exhausted. I see you as a vessel of my grace and not a means to an end. Notice what he goes on to say. This is beautiful. He says, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but look at this, but only one thing is necessary. He's saying, Martha, I don't need your food. I want to give you the word. I want to bless you. That's all that's necessary, is that you sit at my feet and learn from me. That your heart would be stirred by the Spirit of God. That's what I want you to have. That's what I want you to pursue. That's what I want you to delight in. That's why I'm here, Jesus is saying. But you're so worried about all these other things that you're forgetting the most important. Look at this, what he says. Only one thing is necessary, and look at what's next. For Mary has chosen the good part. Mary chose the better option. Jesus would prefer that we sit at his feet than just simply following him, or just simply serving him, working for him, excuse me. He says to her, you're just so frazzled. One thing is necessary, and that is that you learn from me, that you sit at my feet, that your soul is blessed. Now, Mary chose that. He says, look, Mary made the right decision. She accepted the role of learner. Notice what he says next. He says this, or which in the New American Standard, which shall not be taken away from her. Notice that Jesus approaches it this way. He says this, I will take away your work. I will not take away her devotions. Notice that he approaches it not as a privilege. He doesn't say, you know what, I do care, but I've decided to let her listen. No, he approaches it like this. There is no way I can justifiably rob her of this opportunity to sit at my feet. It will not be taken away. Notice that what Jesus is saying here is that Mary chose the good part. And Jesus feels that he should oblige her because that's what's most important. So the question that we have to face as we conclude this and apply this, the question is, how does this text have anything to do with what we're going to try to do this summer? So let me spend some time kind of outlining what I have in mind, what the format will be, what the content will be, and I'm hoping that this is something that really appeals to you. First of all, let me ask this question. What will we be doing on Sunday morning for prayer meeting and also church-wide to encourage you to take a step back from all the serving and sit at the feet of Jesus? Now, obviously, some serving has to continue. Right? And so some of you don't get a break, but that's okay. What we've decided to do is to not have Awana during the summer, not have Sunday school during the summer. Most small groups will not meet during the summer. And so what this means is that your spirituality and the discipleship of your family is now in your hands and not in ours. That's on purpose. We want you to not have to feel like you're always running around during the summer, but that you have time to be with your family, and that you would spend that time, at least some of it, in actually sitting at the feet of Jesus together. The elders did not get together and say, you know what, maybe we should scale back everything during the summer in the hopes that families just stay out later doing worthless worldly things. No, what we do is we say, how can we encourage families that now have more time together because there's no school and there's no extracurricular activities, and because the weather's nicer and it's brighter later, you tend to stay out and do more things? How can we encourage them to not feel like they have to be in church so much that they are exhausted and not able to meet the needs of their families? Well, the way we do this is by systematically taking a step back. But this is for a purpose. This is in order that those who teach and those who serve in all these areas would get a chance to take a little bit of a breather. I mean, think about this. You're 8 o'clock people. And I would never tell the other services, but you know you're my favorites. Right? Well, now, instead of having 2 in the first service up there doing their thing and 2 in the second service, now they can just have 2 people doing it. And so you guys get a week off every now and again to sit here. And I'm taking attendance. No, just kidding. Right? If you're a piano player or an organ player, you're probably here for both services anyway, but you only have to do 1. Instead of 2. If you're a preacher, you only get to preach once. But you're doing a devotion during prayer meeting, so there's enough to do. It's to make sure that all of us who are serving don't begin to have hard feelings toward the Marys around here. So all the Marthas don't look at the Marys and say, Jesus, don't you care that they just sit here? And I'm here 6 times a week? Don't you care? Our hope is to give people a break so that when the fall comes and everything starts again, Martha's recharged and Mary is challenged. Another question that I ask in coming to this text, just in the interest of being transparent with everyone, is what will I be doing myself to ensure I spend enough time at the feet of Jesus this summer? I think it's a reasonable question for you to be able to ask of me. Hey, Dom, what are you going to do? Are you just going to kick back and do whatever preachers do when they're not preaching? Well, yeah, a little. First of all, I'm going to be cutting back my office hours to where I'm going to be here mostly mornings. That way, in the afternoon, I can go study somewhere else. I can ride my bike. I can walk. I can pray. I can think. A lot of the best sermons I've ever prepared have been prepared while riding my bike. The books get a little heavy. Point is, that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm not just out there doing anything. I'm out there sitting at the feet of Jesus, but I'm doing other things that are a blessing to my soul. Secondly, because of moving prayer meeting, I'm going to be able to spend an extra evening at home with my family. And that I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be very, very good. Thirdly, I'm going to spend the rest of this summer developing devotions. Developing devotions that on Sunday morning, when people come here for the devotional time, prayer meeting, I'm going to have things available to them that are going to challenge them and bless their souls and hopefully encourage them to spend more time alone in the study of God's Word and in prayer and in singing and in all these other things. Now, before we go any further, it's also good that I ask the question, is it good that I do this? Well, first of all, it is. It's better for you because my number one job is to walk with God, and I hope you're praying for me. You know that as summer comes and less is going on, I have a little bit more time to just sit at the feet of Jesus and to read, to study, to write, to pray, to think. This past week, I was debating on whether to share this story, but I guess I have to now. This last week, Jen and I got a puppy. Stinking puppy. And we kept it for a day and 8 hours, and then we returned it. Cute puppy, but he's a puppy. And we were sitting there. Puppies need so much work. I'm sitting there stressed out, like, when is this puppy going to do what puppies do on the carpet? Finally, Jen and I just said, you know what? This is too much work for us. Now, some of you animal lovers may judge us for that. I don't care, because I'm sleeping like a baby now, and I don't have a puppy. The point, though, is that some of us run our spiritual lives the same way. We add things until we're so stressed out that we no longer feel any devotional power. We just sit around stressed. This summer, my hope is that all of us will be able to take a breath, especially those of us who serve, and that you would be able to approach your walk with God for a while and work on that instead of being responsible for so many things. Secondly, the Bible itself says that I should be focused more on my walk with Christ than I am on a lot of the other things. In Acts chapter 6, the elders said that it's not good for us to neglect the word of God to wait tables, and so they had deacons appointed. And then, by the way, that's a huge help to me. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but the baptistry is full for the second service, and it's warm, it's running, it's not leaking, I don't think. Why? Because I did it? No, I didn't do any of that. The deacons did. Either by hiring somebody or by doing it themselves. It's good. Thirdly, and most importantly, we'll take a few minutes on this, what can you do to help ensure that you are spending enough time at the feet of Jesus? I know many of you don't see a significant change in your schedule during the summer. How can you make the summer count? Now, a lot of you still have to work the same amount of hours, the same distance away, and so summer really doesn't make that much difference to you. What are you going to do? Well, first of all, I praise God that I have a flexible schedule. Second of all, though, how about this? How about you take Wednesday night, and instead of coming to prayer meeting, make that a family devotion night. Or just a night to pray together, to read a little bit of the scripture together, and then just spend time together as a family. Take that time that you usually take at prayer meeting, hopefully, and put it towards really sitting at the feet of Jesus together as a family. And just saying, hey, how can we pray together? How about this? How about you take advantage of the prayer meeting during the Sunday school hour? How about you start coming at 9 o'clock in a couple weeks? Start coming at 9 o'clock, 9:30 2 weeks from now, and then 9 o'clock the next week. I know it's crazy. And how about you come in and just be a part of prayer meeting on Sunday morning? I'll tell you exactly what we're going to do. We're going to update our prayer list. And then for the whole summer, I'm going to highlight a different devotional every week. And we're going to talk about some of the classics, even if they're not devotionals. We're going to talk about some of the classics in Christian literature, and we're going to read a little bit, and I hope it's going to stir your soul. Sometimes we're not going to read, we're going to listen. Sometimes we're not going to listen, we're going to watch. But it's going to be these devotional tools that hopefully will prime the pump of prayer in your life. And then we're going to break off into little groups and we're going to just pray. Or sometimes we're going to break off individually and just pray. Or sometimes we're just going to corporately stay together and pray. And then we're going to have a donut together and come up to church. And I guarantee that other people will be straggling in late probably, and they were up way too late the night before, and they're going to look around and they're going to see that some people have been sitting at the feet of Jesus, and I know that's going to be attractive to them, and they're going to want that as well. Thirdly, you could take advantage of the Sunday school hour to prepare your hearts for worship. Even if you can't come to the prayer meeting on Sunday morning, what you can do is to use that time to sing, to pray, to read with your family instead of just sleeping in. A fourth thing that you can do is make a commitment to reading a great Christian book this summer. Now, if any of you want any suggestions, I have a ton of suggestions for you, books that would be good and at various levels of your reading ability or a theological knowledge. In prayer meeting, we'll be showing off a lot of these books every week. So if you come all summer, you're going to get 12 glimpses into great devotional tools, whether it's My Utmost for His Highest or The Pilgrim's Progress or all these other things or even sermons online or iPod stuff. You're going to get exposed to all these things that you can use to draw closer to God. Well, let me just conclude with a couple of practical points, and then we will pray. Some of you will be far too busy doing other things this summer. Don't. Sit at the feet of Jesus this summer. Sit at the feet of Jesus this summer. Don't be a bunch of Marthas running around doing all these other things, and then at the end of the summer you're just exhausted. Make it your mission today, before it really starts, make it your mission to sit at the feet of Jesus this summer. Now, some of you will be far too religious doing religious things. Don't. Sit at the feet of Jesus. What this means is I don't want you just in constant activity. I want you to find time every day, if possible, to just sit and read or think or pray or listen or sing or whatever it is, to spend time at the feet of Jesus. Now, some of you will use this sermon as an excuse not to do anything. See, I know this because that's kind of how I think. And I'm thinking, oh, great, if I heard this, what I would say is, look, I can't help anybody and I can't do anything because I need to just sit at the feet of Jesus. Well, don't do that either. This would be an overreaction to our text, and it would be in direct violation of other texts that tells us to serve one another. I'm convinced that some of you will grow more this summer than ever before. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to sitting with you at the feet of Jesus. And if any of you think, you know, prayer meetings are just boring, you just show up and you share a bunch of prayer requests, many of which are probably gossip anyway, and then you just talk, and you hurry up and pray. Well, that's not going to be how prayer meeting is this summer, if we can help it at all. We will be very quick with the updating of the list. We will spend most of the time in devotional thoughts, and here's why. Because I'm convinced that the reason why prayer is difficult is because we just try to do it in the flesh. We just try to do it as a duty instead of being moved to it by actual devotional type thought. And so this summer we'll spend a lot of time together trying to encourage one another to really walk with Christ and share our lives in that way. Now, just to close it up, and we'll go to prayer. I hope that this has somehow whetted your appetite to really draw closer to the Lord. If you're thinking that this summer will be a fluffy summer, let me encourage you that will not happen. We'll start Ephesians in a few weeks, and we will get back to hardcore verse-by-verse exposition during this hour. The hour before, well, not this hour, but the church hour. The hour before, we will just humbly sit at the feet of Jesus, encouraging one another to pray and encouraging one another to focus on Christ. I hope that you don't get washed away this summer. The way I've always said it, and I probably stole it from somebody, but I don't know who, is that there's really only two kinds of summer Christians. Some are faithful and some are not. I hope this summer is the summer that changes you. And let's begin that by praying. Lord God, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would fill us with a passion to sit at your feet. Lord, thank you for the hectic and busy week that you've given me. Thank you for just how frazzled it's made me, to where I can relate to Martha's busyness. Thank you that you care. And that one thing is necessary ultimately in our lives, and that is that our hearts are moved, are affected by you. Lord, I pray that you would protect us from this idea that we take a break from you during the summer. We don't. We shouldn't. Instead, draw us closer to you, not through activity, not through responsibility, but through discipleship. Prayer, singing, teaching, learning, listening, seeing. Lord God, I pray that this summer would be the greatest summer spiritually in the history of Emmanuel Bible Church, and that it would start with me, in my heart, and that it would be infectious. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and just ask you to do that work within us for your glory. As you said in Psalm 143, for the sake of your name, revive us. Please. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing, shall we?